All right, let me know when we're live streaming. All right, we're on. Okay, good to see everybody online tonight. We're kind of few in number. We got a, what do we got going? It's a Christmas caroling with the kids, with Awanas, and the Awanas and several adults are going to a couple houses. Huh? Going to the Hymans. So Miss Sakura and Johnny Hyman just got over the COVID and got home a couple weeks ago, so that's why we're kind of few in number tonight. So I do not have a order of worship as far as songs, but if you want to do some Acapulco singing, we can do some Acapulco. If I can sing it. If I can't sing it, then we have to skip it. So what do you think? What's a song you want to sing tonight? And we can do some Christmas songs. I'm open. So give me the first song tonight. What you got? Silent Night. Give me the number. Silent Night. Let me get in here and try to find it. 253. Well, we'll have our own caroling up in here tonight. 253. All right. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. On the second. Silent night, holy night. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. All right, on the third. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing, alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Here we go, number four. Silent night. Son of God, radiant be from thy holy face. Here we go. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. All right, well, that's got the vocal cords loosened up. What else? What else? Uh-huh. What you think? You picked the first one. Miss Bicky's off the hook. She picked the first one. Somebody else. We'll start the Jeopardy music. Na, 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 na. 2-4, we're staying in the Christmas songs, huh? Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels. Oh, sing all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. All right, on the last. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. All right. What else? What else? Well, we are Christmas songing it tonight. Okay. Away in a manger. Yeah, away in a manger. All right. All right. Who wants to start us off? Crib for a bed. Too high. Late. Sweet head, the stars in the where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my side until morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Amen. One more. Last one. Wait, we're gluttons for punishment, man. We're going to do one more. Joy to the world. 270. Boy, the world needs some joy. Amen. All right. We're going to sing all four? Why not, huh? Is that just one page? Okay. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Two, joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow. nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Hey, all right, amen. Yeah, take it on the road. Stick, put a fork in it, it's done. Amen. All right. Thank you, man. Here we go. All right. We got any praises or testimonies tonight? What you got? Sharon may be going home tomorrow. Praise the Lord. That's a great praise. All right. Praise the Lord. Sharon. She had that surgery on Saturday? Okay. Pretty good reconstructive surgery on her. Was it right foot? Yeah, right foot. Really is a nice, I don't know if you've ever been to HCA Conroe, but it's not a bad hospital. It's not big, but it's clean and nice. So, nice little hospital up there on off of 336, I guess. All right, other praise the Lords. Anybody else? Yeah, do what? Yeah, amen. We got some people out. We got some people here. That's good. Yeah, folks came out on what seems to get dark pretty quick night with the time change. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great. All the little kids going out to sing. That'll be awesome. All right, very good. What else? What else? Other praises, testimonies. All right, encouraging words. Verses that changed your life this week. Anybody got a verse? All right, thankful for a lot of answered prayer. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen. That's a good one. There you go. Amen, amen. What you got? Wow. Yay. Yes, big girl's got a big girl job starting January. Starting January. January 3rd, something like that. Yeah. Yes. Aubrey graduates Sam Houston. And then we have another daughter wants to go to Sam Houston, so we'll be doing that deal again. So rinse, wash, repeat on that one. All right. Aubrey Sam Houston graduation. That's great. All right. Anything else? Other praises, testimonies? Yes, ma'am. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Way to go, Maddie. Second semester in the bag. Bag at Sam Houston as well. Hallelujah. All right. What else? What else? Anything else? Praises? Testimonies? All right. Prayer requests tonight? Yes. Oh, she's getting tubes and they're taking her adenoids? Oh, wow. Oh, no. How many of ours had that done? Trevor had that. Tubes twice. Livia had tubes once, didn't she? Okay. What about? That's right. So tubes, adenoids. All right. So this little Blake. She's having this done when? Oh. Bless her heart. That's going to be a tough deal. All right. 18-month-old. All right. What else? I didn't. When was this? When was this?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Okay. All right. Vince Kimball had given a pretty detailed prayer request on my text. And, of course, I left it in my office. So talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back. I got to get that prayer request because it's a pretty important one. Okay. Well, I'll read it. I'll read it when I get back there on the phone. Yeah, I won't wait till I get back to the front here. Huh? All right, let's see here. From Vince. Vince says, prayer request for tonight. He says, Presley Dawkins, D-O-C-K-E-N-S, Presley Dawkins, 8 years old. She got a severe sinus infection. She has been at Texas Children's for 2 weeks. They did surgery on her sinuses 2 times to remove the infection. The pus, the yuck. She has now developed an infectious pocket on her brain. Yeah. So they're contemplating brain surgery to remove the infection, the yuck out of that area of her brain. He says her dad works part-time with me at Cypress Creek Fire Department. Mom and Dad are Kim and Joey Dawkins. So the Dawkins family tonight, it's a huge prayer request as we go to prayer for Presley and this raging sinus infection. All right. Very good. Other prayer requests? Other prayer needs? Yes. Safety for the Awanas tonight. Okay, okay. All right. What else? Anything else? Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Okay. Amen. We'll do it. Lardis, Chicago, rehab. What else? What else? Other prayer needs? Yes, sir. Okay. This is William McAtee. And he passed away from COVID? His brother did. Okay. William McAtee's brother. Passed away. From COVID. All right, son. We'll lift that family up. William McAtee's brother passed away from COVID. All right. What else? Anything else? Yeah, they say this. They say the sickness seems to be mild compared to the Delta, so. So, huh? If you're vaccinated, yeah. All right, William McAtee, Brother Pastor. So, Omicron. And it's already here in the Houston area, so they've already detected it in the wastewater. Omicron variant. I think the first case was a lady somewhere in Northwest Harris County, the first confirmed case of it. All right, very good. Let's pray our medical workers don't get another, I don't even know what surge this would be, but they definitely need a break. They don't need another big surge, which cases are up from, I guess, from all the travel and Thanksgiving stuff, but hopefully it won't get out of hand like it did several months back. All right, y'all ready to pray? Let me go over these for the folks online. We've got Praise the Lord's praises for those of you folks watching with us online. Sharon Heibarger may be going home tomorrow from the hospital, HCA there in Conroe from reconstructive foot surgery on her right foot, so we're praising God for that. We're praising the Lord for all the folks that have come out tonight, either with Awanas, taking kids, or here in the Bible study tonight. We're thankful for a lot of answered prayer tonight. Praise the Lord for that. We're thankful for kids, going to school and meeting their goals and all that stuff. Aubrey and Maddie, we're thankful for them. Prayer requests, we've got tubes and adenoids for my little great niece. Her name is Blake. And then she's having that procedure done tomorrow. We're praying for the shooting in California on Monday. We're praying for the victims of that. The Dawkins family, we're praying for their daughter, Presley, with a huge sinus infection and may have to have brain surgery because of a sinus infection. Who would have thought that? But that's what's going on there down at Texas Children. Praying for safety for our one of the kids out tonight doing some Christmas caroling. We're praying for Landis up in Chicago, now in rehab for physical therapy and occupational therapy. And then we're praying for the McAtee family in the passing of William McAtee's brother from COVID. So we're praying for that. And then we're praying for our medical workers in the midst of this new Omicron variant. And the prayer was, you know, we knew this thing was going to be another variant. I mean, that was just inevitable. But the prayer was, remember, we prayed that it would be less severe. And that's what they're saying. It looks like it's going to be less severe, so we'll take less severe. Amen. We'll take it. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather in your name and for your purposes, Lord, and for your praise, and just to spend some much needed time with you here, Lord, in the middle of the week. We're thankful tonight for our salvation, Lord. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your gospel, Lord, and we're thankful for those that thought enough of us to share the gospel message with us and walk us through that. And we're thankful for those that came and watered those seeds of salvation that were sown in our hearts. We're thankful for those faithful pastors and faithful Sunday school teachers and just faithful church folk that loved us to the Lord and just kept on us and kept on us till we got it. So, Father God, we're thankful tonight for our salvation. We lift these praises up to you tonight, Lord. We're thankful that Sharon may be getting to go home here tomorrow. We're thankful for this surgery and that they've finally started to get this pain under control. And we just pray that that would continue, the pain management. Be with her, Lord. As she does get to go home, I pray for safe travels. And, Lord, you just help her transition back to the house and then get ready for the long protracted therapy that she's going to be going through. Lord, we just pray you strengthen her and get her ready for that. But we're thankful that the surgery has come and gone. And Lord, she's getting ready to take the next proverbial step, so to speak, and leave the hospital. So we're thankful for that. Lord, we're thankful for your church, and we're thankful for how you continue to bless it, grow it, prosper it. And God, we just give you the praise for all those that have come out tonight, whether with Awanas or here tonight at the Bible study. Certainly a busy time of year, getting close to Christmas, and people are still wanting to pause and take some time to worship you and really relate to what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. So we're thankful for them here tonight and next door and all those out driving. Lord, we're thankful for Aubrey and Maddie completing those school goals. And Lord, we're praying for Maddie as she gets ready to take a little break here, and then 3 more semesters of nursing school. We pray you just undergird her, equip her, keep her healthy, keep her safe in the midst of all that. And then for Aubrey, Lord, we pray you get her ready, prepared to start that new job in January, that new teaching position. Lord, we pray you just help her make that adjustment, make all the changes she needs to make to go from student to teacher. So, Lord, we lift them up to you tonight and thank you for them. Lord, we pray for little Blake tonight. We pray for Lauren and Sean as they'll be taking her and handing her off tomorrow to a surgical nurse and anesthesiologist person, Lord. And that's tough to do. And we just pray for an easy transition for Blake in the morning as they go through that procedure. And, Lord, just help her receive all that well and not be anxious, too anxious. Be with little Blake tomorrow. We pray for these victims in California. This shooting close to a school and this loss of life. Lord, we pray you bring comfort and bring some semblance of justice to this situation. And Lord, in the midst of the loss, we pray that you might bring about salvation and things that would glorify your name out of this tragedy and out of this pain and this senseless loss. We lift up the Dawkins family to you tonight. We pray especially for their daughter, Presley. We pray for this infection, Lord, that she's got raging in her sinuses and this issue now that's in the brain. Lord, we pray that you might calm all that down and, Lord, the antibiotics would do what they're supposed to do and they would not have to do brain surgery on this little girl, Lord. We pray you might spare her of that and bring her through this time of sickness and infection. We lift up our awanas to you tonight. We're praying for those adults, praying for those kids, praying for safety. Lord, we just pray that everybody gets back here and gets back home tonight. Nobody's hurt. Nothing's happened. Lord, we just pray for their safety tonight as they go to minister. Lord, we continue to pray for Lourdes as she is getting a little bit stronger and now starting her physical therapy and occupational therapy. We pray that you just be with her, strengthen her. Lead, God, and direct her, Lord, as she goes through that time of rehab. And then, Lord, we lift up the McAtee family. We pray for William and his family and the passing of William's brother from the COVID. Lord, we pray that you just be with them, comfort them, help them, see them through this difficult time, Lord. And we pray that you just love them through it right now as they go through this difficult time of loss. And then, Lord, as we face a new variant, with the COVID, Lord, we pray that it would be certainly less severe and of the mild flu-like, cold-like thing. God, we pray we'd not see another Delta variant ever. And Lord, that would, when this thing runs its course, it's done. There's no more Delta. We pray that would one day be a done deal. But Lord, as these different variants come, as we pray for this next one to be mild, we pray for even the next one to be even more mild. But Lord, they would just lessen as they transition and mutate. They wouldn't get any severer, Lord. They would get less severe. So Lord, we just lift that up to you. We know you're the God of creation. You're the God of these bodies. And Lord, we're just praying for that. We're praying for these healthcare workers. You strengthen them, undergird them, Lord, help them as they face the potentiality of more hospitalizations. We pray it would not be that. We pray it would be just more folks maybe home sick, but less hospitalizations and certainly, Lord, less death. Father God, we don't want to see any more of that. So, Lord, be with us tonight as we go through your word. We thank you that we can be back in it. And, Lord, we pray our hearts and our minds to be open to receive it. In your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. We are in Revelation chapter 16, 6 bowls of wrath. We've introduced it. We begin to cover some of these things. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. We'll look at verses 1 through 12 again tonight in the book of Revelation, chapter 16. Those of you with us online, chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. You found it tonight? Amen, amen. All right, the Word of God reads, "Then I heard a loud voice," verse 1, chapter 16, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the 7 angels, 'Go and pour out on the earth the 7 bowls of the wrath of God, So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. I heard the angel of the waters saying, "Righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it." And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. All right, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, we've already covered the plague on the unrepentant and rebellious sinners. That's those loathsome and malignant sores. We've already covered the second plague. That's the plague in the sea. That was balanced verse 3. And then we finished up last Sunday night with the plague in the rivers and the streams. That's that third bowl in verses 4 through 7. Now, where we ended it was this. We said the destruction of what is left of the earth's fresh water will cause, we talked about how it would cause unthinkable hardship and suffering. We said there would be no water to drink. I mean, people are going to have water in bottles, and people will have water in water towers, and there will be some water left, but there's not going to be an unlimited supply of water to drink. No clean water to wash the oozing sores caused by the first bowl judgment, and no water to bring cooling relief from the scorching heat that the fourth bowl judgment will shortly bring. So we said the scene is so unimaginable because it's so horrible that people will wonder how a God of compassion and how a God of mercy and how a God of grace could send such a judgment. Now, as we begin this evening, we come to this brief interlude, if you will, this brief interlude in the pouring out of the judgments while an angel speaks in God's defense. Now, appropriately, it is the angel of the waters who has just poured out his bowl of wrath on what? The streams, I guess, where we're at. The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters, verse 5. Okay, so we have this interlude here by this angel who's just poured it out on the waters, right? He defends God's righteous judgment in kind of an echo of the Overcomer song in chapter 15, verses 3 through 4. Now, if you'll go back to 15 with me, just that chapter up, verses 3 through 4, remember that, okay? And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." In contrast to the curses and blasphemies of men in verse 9, if you look in 16:9, you see that men blaspheme there. And then in verse 11, they blasphemed again. In contrast to the curses and blasphemies of men in verses 9 and 11 of chapter 16, the angel declares, verse 5, "And I heard the angel of the water saying, 'Righteous are you, who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things. Now, God's judgment of sinners is unquestionably righteous because He is the what? He is the Holy One. And although His wrath is terrifying, and although His wrath is deadly, it is a just, and it is a deserved, and it is a probe, and a, it is an appropriate, oh, if I can say it. It is, we had to, I sang, and I got all my words out in the singing, and now I'm short words. It is an appropriate response to sinners' rejection of Him. And so, what is the angel really declaring? What is the angel really declaring here? The angel declares that the Christ-hating, that the God-rejecting people receiving these judgments, that they will bear, and I've already said this, but this is what the angel is saying, that they will bear an overwhelming burden of guilt. They're getting what they get because that's what they get, right? An overwhelming burden of guilt. So the rebellious mark of the beast sinners, okay? The rebellious mark of the beast sinners. These are the sinners that have the mark of the beast. These rebellious mark of the beast sinners will have rejected the clear. They will have rejected the powerful. They will have rejected the persuasive preaching of the gospel all throughout the tribulation. And not only were they rebellious and unmoved by the gospel, but the angel reminds the reader that they poured out the blood of saints and prophets. They will mercilessly persecute and kill believers throughout the tribulation, beginning with the martyrs of the fifth seal. Now, Loopy had asked a question. She thought that when we got to the tribulation, that there wasn't no opportunity for people to get saved. She gave a reference of Scripture out of Thessalonians. I can't remember the verse. We were at the end of the Bible study. Pastor Lee was tired, and my mind was going into what? A neutral. Amen? It's Sunday night, right? My mind was going into neutral. But here we go, and we'll repeat some of this, or regurgitate it, however you want to say it. We'll repeat some of this when we get back at it this coming Sunday night. But take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 6. And if she watches this tonight after the Awanas thing, then she'll be up on this with everybody else. But we're talking about how these rebellious mark of the beast sinners, how they will mercilessly persecute and kill believers throughout the tribulation, beginning with the martyrs of the fifth seal. The fifth seal, remember that. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, the Word of God reads, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I'm in Revelation 6, verse 9, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the Word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe. They were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. So there are people that what? That don't take the mark of the beast. There are people what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There are people in the tribulation who get saved, other than Jewish people, right? Other than Jewish people. Now, there was a thing when I first got into the ministry in the early 90s, and the stick was that the thing that they were pitching is that nobody gets saved in the tribulation. And I remember asking the guy that was mentoring me, that was kind of the pastor, and I was at his church, and it was a big church, and I was his pastoral intern, and I remember asking him that question, oh yeah, no, nobody gets saved in the Revelation. And man, I was new to the ministry, and Revelation was the last book I wanted to get into being a college student studying the Bible. And so I just didn't get into it. I just kind of took that at face value, what he said, nobody gets saved in the Revelation. And then I went all through my ministry, I guess 25 years of it, and really didn't get into the Revelation, and just kind of always thought that nobody got saved during the Revelation. And then I started reading scholars who had studied the book of Revelation and written commentaries on the book of Revelation, And quite a few of them believe what? Believe what I'm telling you. That people, but this was the stick back in the early 90s. We want to take that opportunity away from you to push you to salvation here and now. I think that's what was going on, right? You know, instead of me studying the revelation for myself and figuring it out, I was just letting men tell me what they thought was going on. But the guy that mentored me, he had never preached through Revelation. He never preached through it. I don't even know if he'd ever read it. He was a great preacher, but I don't know if he ever read Revelation. He was just getting what somebody else had told him. There was just a thing going around in the early 90s that nobody gets saved in the tribulation. And that's the way I took it for 20-something years of my ministry. But I'm here to tell you, based on the Word of God, based on what we're reading tonight, there people get saved in the tribulation. But you can see, if you're in the congregation and you're not convicted of your sin, and I'm up here and I'm a pastor, and I'm trying to move you or manipulate you to salvation, and you're thinking, well, I'll just wait till the tribulation to get saved, and I'm telling you, oh man, you're not going to be able to get saved in the tribulation, you see where there's kind of that back and forth going there, right? And the bottom line is, I shouldn't be trying to manipulate you to salvation, right? Who convicts us? Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit help us see? That we're a sinner. Until somebody gets to the point where they're a sinner in need of a Savior, you can tell them whatever you want to tell them. But what you need to do is just keep preaching the gospel to them, and the Holy Spirit is going to eventually convict them on His timing and His sovereignty and get them ready to receive what? Receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Good to see you guys. Come on in. Amen. Well, God keeps adding to our numbers. We get too many more, we're going to have to pass offering plates. Just kidding. Amen? All right. So, where was I at? Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, right? And we read that. And there was, we read that. Okay, so later, after Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, what did John see? Go to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Revelation 7, verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed. What did they get in chapter 6? Clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. What is that saying? That's telling us that there will be people saved from every tribe and nation during the tribulation. Okay? And here they are. These are the martyred saints. All right? They didn't take the mark of the beast. They wouldn't roll over for the devil, for the Antichrist. They wouldn't do it. 7:14, I said to him, "My Lord, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them," what does it say? "White in the blood of the Lamb." Amen? So, in addition, the two witnesses will be martyred, per chapter 11, verse 7. Okay, we're talking about how the mark of the beast, gospel rebellers, they've done all these things to the saints, to those that are saved during the tribulation. And what are they getting now? They are getting no fresh water. All their water is being turned into what? Being turned into blood, right? Amen? Why is that happening to them? Well, we're going through why that's happening to them, because of all they've done to God and God's people. All right, so the two witnesses will be martyred, per chapter Revelation 11, verse 7. And the nations will do what? 11:18 says that the nations will be enraged. In addition to what do the nations do, 17:6 say that they kill the two witnesses. So justifiably, those who have spilled so much innocent blood will be given to drink blood. Make sense? Amen? So, as we continue on, the angel's chilling words as we go through this interlude here in back Revelation chapter 16 is where we're at, right? 16:1-12. We're in verses 4 through 7. We're in this interlude here and the pouring out of the six bowls. We're going to get to the seventh bowl after Armageddon. The angel's chilling words are that they deserve it. They deserve it, okay? So God is just. God is holy. He will execute vengeance for His people per Romans chapter 12, verse 9, which says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Amen? So having willfully rejected the knowledge of the truth, there is nothing left for the unbelieving world but to receive what they deserve. Then John heard the altar saying, look what it says in verse 7, "And I heard the altar saying, Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." The altar literally echoes the sentiments of the angel with words similar to what is spoken of in 15:3. "And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations." And so what scholars believe is that the very altar under which the saints, chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, they believe the saints that we read about earlier praying for vengeance in Revelation 6, 9 through 11, this same altar now affirms, what did they pray for? They prayed that vengeance would be taken for their lives, right? They were heinously killed, right? They would not roll over and take the mark. So they prayed the prayer. Scholars believe that this same group, this same altar, now affirms that God's true and righteous judgments are the answer to those prayers. What are they told? They're told to rest a little while. There's still going to be some more people martyred and going to join you. But God's going to take care of all of it. And then what do we read? God takes care of what? He takes care of all of it, right? And so they affirm the answer to their own prayer. Now, the application here is that God's judgments are true and righteous, and thus is the constant teaching of Scripture over and over again, whether we're in the Old Testament, whether we're in the New Testament, whether we're back in Exodus, whether we're here in Revelation. God's judgments are righteous, okay? True. Now, back to the third plague before we move on to the fourth, and I've still got some time, so I want to use it here. At Jesus' first advent that we're getting ready to see, well, we're really already celebrating it. At Jesus' first advent, His first miracle was to turn water into what? Turn water into wine, right? That miracle was designed to draw humanity to Him. Here in the third plague, or the pouring out of the third bowl, He turns the water into blood to remind humanity of Him. To remind humanity of Him and what they have done to His people, right? They shed His innocent blood. They've shed their blood. One by one, the Lord is removing with each bowl, with each subsequent bowl, the Lord is removing every prop, every comfort, everything mankind leans on for support and takes for granted. Now, one of the questions we had asked last Sunday evening, I believe Ronnie asked this, was how quick do these plagues take place one after the other? I mean, how fast? John was sharing that our bodies can survive weeks without food, but as John said Sunday evening, only about 3 days without water. Body's got to have water. Amen? Got to have water. So water will be running out and humanity's survival will be running out as well. Hence the plagues are, as I stated Sunday night, as I believe still, and other scholars attest to, the plagues will be pretty rapid fire. I mean, they're going to come on the heels of each one. Now, as we've already gone through, and we've only gone through three, this is difficult to digest, thinking about all of the water on planet Earth, blood red, putrid, foul. I mean, we see pictures of the Earth from space. You know, if you've ever been on a cruise, you've seen the blue line out in the Gulf. I mean, it's just gorgeous, the water. It's difficult to digest mentally all that's going to be going on. But one day, when we are home in glory, and we have a glorified body, and we have a glorified mind, and our minds have been transformed and glorified, we will see things from God's perspective. And we will understand just how hateful and horrible sin truly is. And we will feel as God feels. We will think as He thinks. And we will understand as He understands. In fact, I am 100% sure that we will voice, because we will be watching it from the grandstands in heaven, we will voice our own amens as He judges the world that has denied Him and has defiled His creation. You say, Pastor, I don't think so. I'm telling you, man, you get your glorified mind and your glorified body and you get sin out of your equation, and you're going to be lined up, jived up right with the Holy Spirit, right with God the Father, like you've never have been. Amen? You're going to holler out your own amens when He judges the world that has denied Him and has defiled His creation. So, we will understand that the time for judgment has come. We will know that the only thing that has held judgment off for this long has been what, church? The only thing has been God's pure grace. That He's continued to allow the gospel to go forth even in the midst of His tribulation. For those that will faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, when judgment comes, we can rest assured that God will judge the right individuals in the right amount, in the right way. How can we be assured of that? Because He can do nothing but the right thing. He's God, right? He's holy. He's righteous. Genesis 18:25. I've shared this passage with you before. I'll share it with you again. Genesis 18:25 says, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly?" He is the perfect judge, and He will deal justly. So that brings me to the fourth plague. That is the plague of the sun. We're going to begin it tonight. We won't finish it, but let's look at verses 8 and 9 of Revelation chapter 16. Are you still with me? Amen? The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give Him glory. So, in contrast to the first three angels who poured out their bowls on the earth, the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun. Now, that's one fast-moving angel, because that's just 93 million miles away. Yeah. I mean, he's smoking, moving on, man. I mean, he's traveling the speed of light and then some. As a result, the sun, which has since the fourth day of creation, per Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 19, since then it has given the world light, it has given the world warmth, it has given the world energy. But when he pours out that fourth bowl, it will become a deadly killer, the sun. Searing heat, exceeding anything in human experience, will scorch men so severely that it will seem that the atmosphere is on fire. Those who will be scorched with the sun's fierce heat are the same people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image from verse 2. So another serious consequence of the sun's intense heat will be what, church? Will be the melting of the polar ice caps. Now, it didn't say the ice turned to blood. It didn't say the anywhere that ice. It said the oceans, and it said the streams and the rivers. And now you've got all that putrid water. You've got all the millions and billions of life from the oceans that are now dead. All the millions and billions of life forms in the streams and the rivers dead, floating to the top, foul, disgusting, awful. And now you've got the heat that melts the ice caps and does what to that water? It brings that nasty, yuck, death-filled water inshore. It pushes it miles inshore. You take all that ice in that Antarctica, you take all that ice in the North Pole, you melt all that and put it in the oceans that already are, and all of it, it's going to be, yeah, bad. Right? Rising tides, rising oceans, the water level will inundate coastal regions, flooding areas miles inland with the noxious waters of the dead ocean. So widespread damage and loss of life will accompany that flooding, adding further to the unspeakable misery of the devastated planet. Now, one would think that the unparalleled disasters of the first four bowl judgments would cause people to repent. I've got boils. I can't wash them. I can't find water. And now they've just dialed up the temperature. And now I'm burnt on top of my sores, right? I'm miserable. Who's doing this? God the Creator's doing this? Well, I don't know. Let me turn from my wicked ways and repent. But they won't. They won't. You would think after the first four bowl judgments, it would cause people to repent. God's judgment is designed to call sinners to repentance. That's what's there. To cause sinners to repent. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or in Pharaoh's case, remember Pharaoh? Judgment did what to him? Hardened his heart. Right? Didn't cause him to repent. It hardened his heart. But typically, God's judgment is designed to call sinners to repentance, right? But instead of blaming their sin, in the most shocking example of hardness of heart in the history of humanity, they blaspheme the name of God, whom they know to be directly responsible for all their misery. Men were scorched with fire, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give Him glory. Amazingly, they know that God has the power over the plagues that were afflicting them. They know that. Yet they will love their sin so much and be so deceived by the Antichrist that they will not repent so as to give God glory. So up until this point, only the Antichrist has been described as blaspheming per chapter 13:1. For chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. But here, humanity, the lost world, they adopt the evil character of the Antichrist and they begin to blaspheme God in their way. For some people then, and for some people now, neither grace nor wrath will move their wicked hearts to repentance. It's mind-boggling. For some people then and for some people now, neither grace nor wrath will move their wicked hearts to repentance. In 11:13, you'll jump back to 11:13 and I'm almost done. Chapter 11:13. And in the hour, and in that hour, there was a great earthquake. And a tenth of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. And the rest were terrified. And notice what it reads. And gave glory to the God of heaven. Right? In 11:13, the earthquake brought about some repentance, but not in this series of judgments. They are so hardened that they will not repent. Such blind, blasphemous hardness of heart is incredible in the face of the devastating judgments they will be undergoing, but like their evil leader, Antichrist, they will continue to hate God and refuse to repent, giving glory to God as just and righteous judge of sin. Unbelievable, hard to comprehend, hard to wrap your mind around, and for me it was hard to say tonight, but I'm telling you, that's a what's a coming. Amen? Any questions? It may be a week before I get back with you, but throw it out there. You got a question? No questions tonight? All right. Folks online, good to have you with us. Do we have folks online with us? Oh, we're recording. Okay. Well, online folks, when you get to watch this, it was good having you. Amen? So we'll see you soon, online folks. Jeremiah's with the kids, the Awana kids, doing the caroling. So that's why we're not live streaming tonight. So, but if you're watching this and you get this far, it was good to have you along for the ride. And if you have any questions online, folks, we'll then send those in, and we'll try to answer them. It may take me a Bible study or two to get them all answered, but we'll get them answered. Amen? All right, let's be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. And, Lord, as we continue to work through the bowl judgments, Lord, it's a difficult territory, tough stuff, sobering to think about what is coming in the end of the tribulation. But, Lord, we pray that folks do not have to go through that. That, Lord, they would receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior before it is eternally too late, before they die or before the rapture of the church, and they have to go through that mess, Lord. Nobody should have to go through that. So, Lord, we pray. We pray that we would be a witness. We pray that we would be a gospel seed sower. We pray that we would be a lover of people and a lover of men and women. And, Lord, we would care enough about them to share a nugget, a seed, something out of the Bible, something about our testimony, something that God has done for us, to get them to think, Lord, that we are different from them and we have something that they don't. And the something is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Father God, again, thank you for our salvation and help us with the ministry of reconciliation that you've blessed us with. May we be faithful to practice it and faithful to show people, Lord, in the Word, what it means to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It's in your name we pray and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Have a great evening. Is anybody taking the money for the Christmas party? For the Christmas party?